It's Thursday. It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. It's time for Tom and Shane Business and Politics. And here we are, believe it or not. And no way you could get away from Tom and Shane Business and Politics. So we're happy to be here with you. If you're here, why not subscribe? Hit the subscribe button. 84% of you are not subscribers. So why not? I mean, why would you not want to know when Tom and Shane are on? Click the notification bell. You'll always get a notification no matter what time zone you're in, no matter where in the world you are, and you'll be notified that we are on. Like us, leave a comment. YouTube likes that kind of stuff. And also, if you would like to support us monetarily, there are some benefits for doing that. So by all means, go down to the description below and check out all the good things Shane and I will do for you if you support us monetarily. And we do these with StreamYard, of course, every week. If you'd like to make videos like this, we are the poster children of how easy it is. I mean, if we can do it, anybody can put YouTube videos up. Well, today our topic is pipelines, the future of America's pipelines. And Shane, we've got pipelines, man, oh man, 2.6 million miles of pipelines deliver all kinds of stuff to us, water, natural gas, heat, they even transported iron ore at one time, Shane. if you can believe that, can you imagine iron ore going through a pipeline? I don't know how they did that, but they did. So I don't know. So pipelines, what's the story?
Well, it's a big one because we live in, you know, first world country. And to make that possible, you have to supply certain fluids, you know, not just gas and oil, but, you know, sewage, water, and electricity, most of which, and access to the internet, and most of which now is underground. And it's taken over 100 years for this to happen. Well, you know, of course, everyone else, we don't know what they were doing. But the important thing about it is how massive it is. And when we listen to the people on the woke side of the demolition party talking about Green New World, and we're destroying the planet. You know, these topics that we cover are ones that no one else wants to talk about because they defeat the argument that they're trying to make about what's happening to the planet. Man is not that powerful. He's not that destructive. And anything that we're laying as a pipe is either stainless steel, copper, aluminum, plastic. You know, it's all biodegradable if things go in the tank, you know, as far as, you know, some kind of event that destroys everyone, it'll just go back to what it was before. But someday man might find up, you know, like they do with other minerals, a run of a stainless steel that is decayed or lead that's decayed and go, boy, look at this. We're going to make a fortune because they don't have to go as deep.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, look, a side note, don't mean to segue on you, but I want this to go viral to those of you out there that watch us. Please pass this on to all your friends. We've been very clear on this market crash that we've been watching since November and called, and we started warning people last May, and I've come up with what I feel should be the cause of it, and like the mortgage-backed securities in 2008, which was, you know, MBS, mortgage-backed securities. Well, I'm calling this the EPS crash, the earnings per share crash of 2021-2022. Earnings per share we'll talk about in a couple of weeks and to explain this, but I put the bank, basically I put the blame on what's happening in the market to all of you with the banks and all these people on TV with their financial analysis. And earnings per share, 90% of the stocks that have dropped were over 30% last November. If that wasn't a call to tell people, look, if you've got a stock up 50-100%, sell half of it or all of it because you're going to buy it back cheaper, they should have. But no, of course not. And they're still talking today, you know, buy. Well, you know, stocks right now are just at a discount and they're only going to get cheaper. Now back to what we're going to talk about here. The one thing I want to bring up that I think is fascinating, because it's the most important thing, is to remind people that one of the largest Western civilizations, countries in the last 2,000 years was Rome, with over a million people, around 1.4 million. And they provided 100 gallons a day for Romans. That's 2,000 years ago. So you look at today, and the water industry in the United States is incredible. And there's known to be about 6.2 million lead water pipes in North America. Mm-hmm. And there's anywhere from 3.5 million to as many as 6.6 million leading from the main down your street to your home, that are made of unknown material, and maybe lead. So there's 12.8 million pipes that are known to be probably made of lead still that really need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. This is something that politicians don't want to talk about because it's a massive undertaking. Yeah. And up until 30, 40 years ago, cities, county, or cities, you know, villages, urban centers, they did this work. But of course, now any new building, they require the builders to put it in. So you think potholes were a problem, you better look underground, because it's anywhere from 3 to 50 feet that all of this has to be dealt with. That's just water. You talk about gas.
Yeah. Well, right now there are 10 petroleum pipelines projects in the U.S. that are going on right now. Keystone is not one of them, unfortunately, but the big one, Shane, you know about, is Enbridge pipeline, longest in North America, crude oil, 17,100 miles, and they're a Canadian company. Maybe you can brief us a little bit on them.
Oh, absolutely. They have over 23,000 mile natural gas pipe, 23,000 miles of natural gas pipelines in just in Canada, and several in the United States, and all the way down to Mexico that they provide. In fact, natural gas coming from Canada to the West Coast provides about 60% of their natural gas for Washington, Oregon, and California. They're always late on their payments to the Enbridge, which doesn't make them happy. But it's a publicly traded company, and they have $50 billion in revenue in 2019 that jumped to $60 billion or $66 billion in 2021 last year. So it's a major company. They've made major acquisitions, and they're involved in building the pipeline to the coast. To move gas and oil from Alberta and then turn around, because of what the U.S. did with the XL pipeline, they were involved in as well, and so did the Canadian government. But it's that kind of well-run company it is, because they're in it strictly for the purpose of profit, and in this day and age of personal politics and not policy, and politics should be about policy, not personality. You have to make decisions for 10, 20, 30 years from now, like this type of company.
That's for sure. Yeah.
You have to be careful about today, because it's not tomorrow. It's 10, 20 years from now. And they're not planning like the planet's going to end in 6 years, because of course it's not. they don't sit around their boardroom going, oh my God, are we going to spend this money for the next 10 years? Because, these are smart people. They know what they're dealing with. And it's one of these exceptional realities that, just in the case of water, when I was talking about Rome, the U.S. public uses 322, are you ready? Billion gallons of water per day. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, that's like 82 gallons per day in the home, but over 300 gallons, per person a day. And, that nobody talks about it. And like, we've already covered how big it is,
Yeah.
You look at the amount of mileage Americans drive, around an average of 13,500 miles a day, a year rather. And, that's like 562 gallons of gas per year. So no wonder we're in this inflationary cycle with the price of gas and food, but principally gas, and as in gasoline, not natural gas, but that too. The fact is the only way to deliver it in an economic, cost-effective, and safe way is by pipeline. We learned that 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, looking at the pipelines of the United States, Shane, we're looking at they're only about half full as production surged to 13 million in the early 2020. COVID came along and slowed down production. And then the United States, we now average about 11 million barrels in there as well. If the pipeline, XL pipeline, had peaked and had been approved and put in place, 830,000 barrels per day would help make up that other million. So, and as I think, as you mentioned, 2021 Americans used about 369 million gallons of gasoline per day. So, when we look at these. When we look at these pictures here, it's pretty staggering what we're looking at. With all the pipelines that we've got, they look more like a roadmap than they do pipelines.
That's right. And when you look at the rest of the world, the third world and developing second world countries, you're looking about 2.3 million miles of pipelines that they have, and they still haven't gotten it. They especially with water or sewage.
Yeah.
It is a huge global problem for the 7 billion people out there, besides North America and Europe, and it's one of these things that governments have failed their communities, their people about. Russia only has 8% of pipelines in the world, and they're principally, for gas and oil, because it's a commodity-based country. So most cities, towns, villages particularly, they have no, clean pipe water. They don't have, clean waste taken away like sewage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no wonder we're at the top of the list in the first world, because this is one of the biggest reasons: pipelines. It's crazy that people haven't talked about it, because the infrastructure of it is greater than the highway system. It's greater than air travel system, meaning airports and so forth. Mm-hmm. This is one of the largest infrastructures of the United States, aside from your power grid. The power grid out distances the pipelines by a very large degree, which we've also talked about.
Yeah. Well, drinking water, you talked about it earlier, Shane. We'll revisit that. 2.2 million miles of underground pipes that deliver water to us, and average family about 300 gallons of water per day that they use, between showering and watering the lawn and dishwasher and the washer dryer and all the other stuff that we use water for, plus in addition to drinking. So we use a lot of that, and the majority of that, I think almost all of it, is underground and pipelines. So
that's right. And when you look back to antiquity and particularly Rome, 100 gallons per day for 1 to 1.4 million people was just incredible. Who did it? The legions, the military. Mm-hmm. And they built these fantastic viaducts. There's some of them are still standing today, particularly across France. These are as high as any bridges built in North America. Mm-hmm. 200-300 feet high across valleys.
True.
And all led downhill at the exact amount, 5 centimeters downhill grade, all the way to Rome.
Yeah.
They came from Europe, they came from Western Europe, they came from Northern Europe that we know now, and they came from parts of Italy. But Italy didn't have a really good natural flow of water, so they adapted. But when you're talking about building 10,000 miles of surface aqueducts to flow water, they developed lead piping into the city, and of course brick, you know, underground brick flows. In major cities, New York has spent 70 years building huge water provisions underground, and they've had projects that they're in the middle of one right now, replacing or to add to what they already have, because it was like 60 years old. Yeah. But you know, it's like a 10-20 year program, and so yeah, it's and you got to build it under a city that's already there. So
yeah,
and the industry of it is just phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one we should shout about to the world, because we do it better than anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, my first job out of the Army, Shane, was selling sewer pipe.
Yeah, there you go.
I had half of Illinois, the western
half. Those petrochemicals, you know, that made a difference too, because what they found back in the 70s and 80s after the development of soft pipe from petrochemicals made out of plastic, they could roll it out, and literally they would line the lead pipes with it once they realized how you know, dangerous lead pipe was. So when we talk about all of this lead pipe that is still existing, a lot of it has been lined already with plastic pipe. But, you know, you're always finding that as things expand and grow, you need more. You need more of everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. So need all those things to make things happen. So. Well, let's see where we are here.
Well, which pipeline haven't we covered? We covered petroleum, gas, water.
Yeah. Well, sewage. Yeah. I don't want to talk about sewage. It's early.
I know, but it has a pipeline system.
Well, it does. Yeah,
it's
sure.
The same size as the water pipeline. It's like 3.5 million to 6 million lines for the sewage.
Yeah.
But I mean,
sure.
It's nothing nice to talk about, but it's sort of important because you'd be using an outhouse.
Well, made a living for me for a while.
Yeah, that's right. I go to parks here out in the middle of the wilderness in BC, and they have bathrooms with literally running water and flushing toilets. So, I mean, they've built it in the wilderness because there's enough water here, you know, natural groundwater. On the slope of the hills, you know, they can put a cistern in above the bathroom they build, and then it fills, of course, the toilet and everything, and then it goes out underground. They don't have to have a, you know, they just have a peel. All you do is feed the forest.
Well, one of the other things we haven't talked about, if you look at the map of the pipelines, I know, they're everywhere.
Did you think Hunter Biden drew that with a straw?
Yeah. If you know the states, you probably know where Nebraska is. It's about in the middle, and everybody was worried about the aquifer under Nebraska. And if you're worried about it, I don't think too many people were that worried about it. If you look at that map, because there are plenty of pipelines. All over Nebraska and Oklahoma and through that whole area where that, you know, that major aquifer runs through there, Shane. So I think that's more of an excuse than anything else. So,
well, can you put that pipe, that picture up again?
Sure.
Let's talk about it for a couple of minutes because it's important.
Sure.
You know, look at the south part of your country, you know, the Texas to Louisiana, basically,
and all the refineries are. Yeah.
Now look at the Caribbean off the coast of those Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas. Look, all those pipelines that go out to sea.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's where, like, you know, 35% of your oil and natural gas come from is those platforms and all that drilling in the Caribbean. And, you know, it doesn't show Mexico, because Mexico has a similar setup as well, which makes it a major player in the industry. But the fantastic thing is realizing the mixture, because this is principally a map of just oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't. This is just oil and gas. doesn't involve the other pipelines we're talking about. Now, look at the cross through southern United States to the west, to California, from guess where? Texas and and the southern coast. And then you go up to the north central part where you're talking about, you know, Kansas, but Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and all of that. You know, a lot of that was developed 100 years ago because those were the big fields back then where, you know, oil in Ohio was only 500, 600 feet deep. And then you go over to the East Coast, you go up to Minnesota, you go over to Western New York. It's incredible the development of the oil and gas industry, especially because a third of your population lives in the northeast point of your country, a third. And so over 150 million people up there need all the things we're talking about. And look how far it comes. I mean, it's an impressive sight to see how, you know, integrated and, you know, the and how they basically built this by corporations that provided the infrastructure, being gas companies and oil companies. Back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, you know, principally. And it's a great accomplishment. It's a very significant one.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing what we've been able to do with, you know, I mean, this is all done in the past 100 years, Shane. I mean,
that's right. It's remarkable. It really is. And it's on an industrial basis because, you know, it wasn't dug. I mean, most of this was done by people like Caterpillar, which is why it became such a successful company.
Yeah.
You know, they had to build those backhoes and plows and everything else to make this move quickly and get it done. So it's something to be very proud of and unrecognized because you have now at this time a belief or a following that somehow we have to reverse all of this because if we don't, you know, we're not going to be around.
Yeah.
And again, this is an example that we've used now in our talks to explain to people, you know, the world is not coming to an end.
Yeah.
All right. Green Earth is already green because we've made it that way. We've been responsible about what we've done for 100 years.
Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, you know, this is going to, fossil fuels aren't going away. Yeah. I mean, they're just not.
They're not.
I mean, just, you know, get over it. You know, if you think tomorrow we're going to build windmills and solar panels everywhere, killing all kinds of animals and displacing all kinds of animals because we need the space to put all this crap. When most of this stuff's underground, all of it's underground for the most part. So, I don't see you know, the Green New Deal people are definitely locked in. I mean, they are solid with getting
and
rid of
these
fields.
But they're like, you know, we talk about this. They're like your government. They're wasting money. Everything we're talking about today has been done in the last 100 years for less than $1 trillion in today's money.
Mm-hmm.
And built by industry.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about global warming and scaring everyone and spending literally trillions of dollars in the last 30 years on solar panels and windmills alone that, you know, account for less than 5% of your electrical power system, excuse me.
Yeah.
Where you know, burning garbage and wood fiber produces more electricity than all of the solar panels and wind.
I know.
83% of your power grid is generating electricity with coal and natural gas. So these are the topics we talk about because they're really sort of important.
Yeah. Greg says, what we really need is a pipeline from the Bakken, which has plenty of oil to be pumped out. Well, that's what the Keystone Pipeline is there for. It goes right past the Bakken, and that's...
Oh, yeah, but there is a pipeline from the Bakken down to, you know, that they were going to tap into it. And there's a pipeline from the Bakken that goes down to the coast. But now, The western part of all of that in Montana, the eastern part of Montana, western part of North and South Dakota, it has to be taken by guess who? Burlington Northern. Oh, who owns that? Oh, Warren Buffett. Mm-hmm. You know, and Berkshire Hathaway. Mm-hmm. Gee, I wonder why the XL pipeline.
Yeah. Well, of course it was
because Buffett's a big supporter of the left, and he, it's a terrible thing because this man charges people, these independents who have built this whole thing. I mean, there's no majors that created what happened in the Bakken. It was Continental became a major because of what they did. But other than that, he wants to know what you sell that oil for, where he's taking it, to determine what he's going to charge you to ship it. Well, if that's not a monopoly, I think you need to look at the laws because that's a monopoly.
Well, only about 3 to 4% of the oil is transported by rail, so it's not a major deal.
That's why it's so expensive.
Apparently not many people are going for it.
Look at these reports. You know, Biden's planning to empty your reserves, by 50% by September. And now we find out this week that 5 million barrels have been shipped already to India and China of that oil. I mean, it's supposed to go to reduce the cost of America's at the gas pump. And because of the way the system is built, and we've discussed it, how this works and why.
Yeah.
You know, so this guy doesn't even know how, he just goes out and they tell him, go save this because that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a ridiculous scenario. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the other economic thing to think about, okay, let's say you empty the, let's say you take 1 million barrels a day out of strategic oil reserve, that started in March. So for 6 months, he's going to take it out. So that's going to go into September. Taking that oil hasn't affected gas prices at all. And even if they did, let's assume they did. Okay, let's assume they brought gas prices down, Shane. That would make our situation worse because it's the price that dictates how much you use. The lower the price, the more gas you'll use, the more oil that would be necessary, the more you'd have to empty the strategic oil reserve. So it would be better to leave the oil where it is and let the prices come down naturally by the, by the refineries gearing back up to their capacity. And slowly, as we know, gas goes up like an elevator and down like an escalator. So, they are going to come down eventually, but over time, we don't know how long that's going to take. And with all the other things we got going on, it's going to get worse before it gets better through this summer.
Absolutely. And this EPS crash that we're seeing happening is going to proceed to get worse. When I see it, all the items that I follow and the threads I watch, I'll certainly alert everyone. But here's the problem that you have. Inflation is not going away. It's only going to worsen. Doesn't matter whether the gas is 100 barrels, 150, or 75. The difficulty that you have is the consumer is being squandered by the policy and personal politics of the demolition party. They don't know what they're doing. And they all these people on TV today even are talking about, consumer confidence. They have no confidence. They only have two choices. They have to buy gas and they have to buy food. And these idiots are refusing to acknowledge the importance of those two factors. And nothing by any government agency or the people on television are doing anything to advise Americans how to deal with it and, where it's going. We're in a recession. We called it. Everyone's denying it. They're still saying, maybe we are. Maybe we aren't. But, for the last 6 months, they said, you've got to define a recession as 2 quarters with negative GDP. Well, we know that how bad the first quarter was because it went from 1.2 negative to 1.6. And then 2 weeks ago, when the Fed members of the Federal Reserve announced that it'll be a negative growth for the second quarter on 1.2, which, mm-hmm. of course, will that means you're in a recession. Well,
yeah. Well, even if yeah, well, regardless of what the GDP is, if you're pumping $5 gas and you're paying double for a can of green beans at the grocery store, you're personally in a recession. It doesn't matter what the GDP is or what the government says.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So, yeah. The private citizen out there trying to live from paycheck to paycheck is definitely in a recession.
And in the historical sense, since 72, when you went off the gold standard, it was for debt spending. And Keynesian theory was borrow money in bad times to accelerate or save the economy. And then when it starts to grow, you take the taxes that you gather, which will increase, and pay the debt off. Well, they don't pay the debt off.
No.
And so now you're stuck because the global sovereign debt of the world is over $75 trillion. And you're half of that. So your debt is half the global sovereign debt. They can't spend $500 billion. They can't spend a trillion. Yeah. It's done. You know, we're telling you right now, this is why this EPS crash is going to affect people so drastically, because they're given little consumer choice. You know, they weren't told to sell their stock to protect themselves. Yeah. So now they're trying to exist on inflationary income to buy food and gas. And it's going to get bad, Thomas. And this was a good conversation today.
People know
how this works.
Yeah, no question about that. So, well, wrapping up, I think we've pretty well covered pipelines today. We hope you've enjoyed it and hope you've learned something about pipelines and things that you didn't know. They're still the safest way to transfer one liquid to another, with minimal and probably the cheapest too, along with that. So
now
much easier to get there because you got fewer people involved in doing it. So let me remind you, we're on radio but Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now. There's nothing to join, no sign up. You don't have to tell us who you are. You don't have to tell us where you are. You don't have to tell us what you are. All you have to do is tune in. And you can call us. You can text us. And if you missed any of our past shows, or if you want to watch this one again, it'll be up shortly. Tom and Shane past shows, KMMSAM.com. All of our shows are up there. We just passed 8,900 downloads of our shows. So
yes, sir.
Pretty exciting. So we are happy about that. So, hey, don't forget to check us out on radio, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, limited commercial interruption. And if you missed all or any part of the show, they're all on KMMSAM.com. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for being here, Shane. Thanks for the info and for sticking with us. So we're happy to do this for you every Tuesday and Thursday. So we'll see you then, I suppose. Well, let me see. I got to do a couple things here. One is I got to get rid of that. And then I can put up this. See how easy StreamYard is to use? There's a link in the description below. You can try it for free. Come on. It's that easy. All right. We are out of here. Thanks for watching.